Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we're discussing the unlimited qualities of Krishna, and we're on the ninth one, Supandit, and we heard about behavior. To be a pundit, one has to have good behavior and be well versed in the Vedic wisdom. Specifically, Jiva says in Vedic wisdom of devotion. So we don't purport to be supandits, but we are servants of the supandit, Krishna. And we should also exhibit these qualities of learnedness, or being wise men and women. Prabhupada said he created ISKCON. He started ISKCON to train Brahmins, the Brahminical ladies and gentlemen, who would spread transcendental knowledge around the world, and would, as he often said, I want you to behave as ideal gentlemen and dress as ideal gentlemen and gentle ladies, let's say. So we are servants of Supandita Sri Krishna, so we should also have this quality of being pundits in our own way, by knowing sufficiently the bhakti tattva, bhakti siddhanta, and how to behave properly with the different classes of devotees and with the general human beings and other entities. So that text, that was text 11, I mean, quality 11. This is similar, it's called 12, buddhiman, medavi, sukshma discheti prochyate buddhiman dvida. Buddhiman means the capacity to absorb knowledge and possessing fine intelligence. So again, all these qualities, they seem to have a twofold definition or two components to the definition. It's be able to absorb knowledge and have, he says, possessing fine intelligence. The English word is given here, acuity. In other words, we get the word accurate. Even they have actuaries when they have, you know, people in accounting. So accurate means to be precise. So we should, it's not, of course, that's a born quality to be somewhat of a genius or have fine intelligence. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri Bir, there are certain things that we receive by virtue of our karmas from last life. One of them is our lifespan, our degree of health, and our bodily beauty, and our knowledge or intelligence. Not everyone is a genius. Not everyone's Albert Einstein. There are not too many of them. So what buddhiman, and we may not be so buddhiman, but Krishna's buddhiman. And as Prabhupada explains this verse like this, he defines it. A person is, he says, buddhiman means genius. A person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer arguments, like Nimai Pandit. And he was present an argument, he would present an argument, a position to his friends, and then his Pandit friends, Gadadhar, etc., Jagannatha Pandit, and challenge them. Now you defeat this position I've given you, presented, this viewpoint or this. And then they would try, and they say, actually, we can't. And he said, okay, I'll defeat it. So then he would defeat his own position. And they would be amazed. Oh, we could never think of that as a means of toppling what you just said. So they would pass their time like this after school on the banks of the Ganga. Because the last thing a young boy wants to do is go home. Home is not the place you want to go. You have to go there to eat because you don't have any money to buy out food outside. There isn't any food. There's no restaurants in Mayapur. Food is only in your house. So they would just pass their time in the Ganga until their mothers would come yelling for them, or Ishan would come and Ishan would be sent by Mother Shachi to collect her wayward son. What is this? You know, school has ended 2 o'clock. Now it's sun is setting. Oh, we were having fun on the bank of the Ganga. And we know the kind of fun you were having. We know all about the kind of fun you were having. Vrindavanadas Thakur tells us you were splashing. You know, the Brahmins were chanting their Gayatri. Then you dove in front of them and kicked your feet and splashed their faces. And the Kanyas are making, worshipping deities of Shiva on the sand. He went running through the deity and stepped on it. I don't know if he'd stepped on it, but he just messed it all up. And ate, well, he just said he ate all, he didn't really mess up the deity. He ate all, came and ate all their offerings. Because they were, just had a few small Amnaya things to offer, like some sandesh and some cut up bananas, which unfortunately happens to be the favorite food of Nimai Pandit. Sandesh and bananas. That's usually something they Bengalis would offer in puja. And he was very keen to accept that offering where it should actually go. Because Shiva's his servant, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Yeah, and then to, just to make them feel even more attached to him, he said, don't you know who I am? Yes, you're that rascal Nimai Pandit. No, I am Mahesh. I am Lord Shiva. He said, get out of here. Pick up some sand and throw at him. Because, you know, they're girls. They're not just, you know. They're Brahmins, girls. They're also a little feisty. They don't think he's God. They just throw some sand. Get out of here, not you Aparati. I'm telling my father. Psh, go ahead. He'd run away. And go, like kids do, something like that. They go like that. So this is Naralila. So in this way, he just stole everyone's heart. And everything he did and said and walked and everything he did. So that's the genius. And sounds like when you read the definition, you say, gee, that sounds like somebody I know. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is someone who can refute any kind of opposing element with newer arguments. And there's solid video and audio proof of him doing this over and over again with this professor and this bishop and this and that and dean and mayor and this guy and that guy. And everybody they brought to him probably just, you know, leveled them, so to speak. Put them on the proper level. Trinada peace in each, you know. So there's a verse to describe that. We'll just read this verse. Actually, when you tightly read Prabhupada's books in a slightly comparative way with other books, you can't help but understand how much of a Radha Bhakta Srila Prabhupada is and how much he's interested in Raghunuga Bhakti. And unknowing to us, from the very earliest book in 1969, he gave us Nectar of Devotion, which is full of Raghunuga Bhakti and full of rasa. Because it says, Prabhupada said, he said, this is not word for word, verse for verse. When he started, in his Back to Godhead magazine, the Pioneer Years, which the archives has published, you can read his old BTGs, and in there you can see a serialized verse-by-verse translation, word-for-word, of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he got to verse 12 or 15, and then Krishna Damodar sent him to America. So then he wanted to finish, but it was a lot he had to do, so he did a summary study. But he fortunately left us there in English, word for word, the description of the definition of pure bhakti, which we incorporated into our classes on that discussion a few years ago. That's why those discussion Anyabhilashita. We gave like a 3-hour class on ta. Were you there? So Anyabhilashita verse was 7 days, 7 hours or something, or maybe more. Because there was so many beautiful from different directions and sources I had explaining this verse, which I thought was primary to understand because it's pure bhakti and we're supposed to be some kind of bhaktas. And and we're marketing or trafficking in or whatever, we're trafficking in heavy drugs. We're trafficking in bhakti and trying to become devoted and distribute devotion. And well, what is it? I don't really know, but I'm into this thing. Can you define what is this bhakti? Oh, it's devotional service. Well, I devotedly serve my mother. I love my mother and I serve her. She said, go to school, become a doctor, and I bit the humble pie and did it. I didn't want to, but you know, I love my mother. You know, it's like this, so that people can't get a clear picture of what it is. So then he told. So now in these references where Rupa Goswami gives to describe how Krishna has fine intelligence, he has one about killing a demon, Kalyavana, in the Mathura Leela. Muchukunda was there. You know the story of Muchukunda, a great hero that fought on behalf of the demigods. He's kind of a Chiranjeev. He's lived from so many yugas. Satya, he was in Ram Leela. He's like everywhere, Muchukunda. I think all the ages. And he was in Dwapara Leela, and then Krishna was running from Kalyavana, Krishna and Balaram, in Mathura Leela. So this verse, Prabhupada doesn't put that here. It's a sequence, this is verse by verse. So this is the quality, genius. These are three or four verses which describe genius. So he shows one of how genius Krishna was to run away from Kalyavana, knowing that Muchukunda was sleeping in a cave, and knowing that he had a benediction, he could sleep as long as he wanted, and knowing that he was his pure devotee and wanting to bless him with his darshan, and knowing that he had a benediction from the demigods, and anybody disturbs your sleep, which you earned by fighting on our behalf for so many years to defeat the demons for our cause, this reward we give you. If anyone wakes you, then you look at them, they'll burn into ashes. So Krishna put a lot of things together here, how to bless his devotee and polish off the demon by using his sleeping devotee. Sleeping beauty, because there's nothing more beautiful than a sleeping devotee. So that's the original sleeping beauty. And especially, they look especially beautiful when they sleep in Harikata. I've seen so many beautiful devotees in the last 36 years. I was also one time a very beautiful devotee. But then I started waking up and I lost my beauty. So his translation of this verse, which we didn't read, Yarubirayam avadyo mlecha rajas tanenam tarala tamasi tasmin vidravan evanesye sukamaya nija nidra. Sukamaya, now that's the thing. Sukamaya nija nidra. I mean, that's the way to go. Nija nidra. What does that mean? Means your own sleep. And what is the characteristic of it? Sukha Maya. What does that mean? I think everybody knows that. It means it's made of happiness. Maya means made of condensed, concentrated. Sukha Maya. Banjana. Banjana dramsi dristir. Jara muchi muchakunda kandare jatra shete. This Kalyavana cannot be killed by the Yadus. By running away from him. Krishna's thinking like this. This is Krishna's thinking. This shows his fine intelligence, his genius. This Kalyavana cannot be killed by the Yadus. And he's a member of the Yadava dynasty. He didn't say me, he said the Yadus, who he's defending in Mathura. They've all returned to Mathura with the installment of Ugrasena as the king and the demise of Kansa and his cohorts. So all the scattered Yadavas have returned, and Vasudeva is out of jail. Ugrasena is the reigning king, and Krishna is remaining there with Balaram to protect the Yadavas from these invincible demons, former friends of Kamsa, seeking revenge by trying to kill the enemy of their old friend, or let's say employer in many cases, who is maintaining them. So Kalyavana, Krishna thought that he can't be killed by the Yadus. By running away from him into the dimly lit cave, I will bring him there. And that cave, decorated with waterfalls, Muchukunda is sleeping. When Mukshakunda opens his eyes, being rudely awakened from his comfortable sleep by Kalyavana, he will destroy this enemy with his glance. So this Prabhupada translates it like this. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. Prabhupada doesn't even include his name. Didn't even want to touch his name. Kalyavana. He was a Yavana. And Kalyavana, I guess he was came at the wrong time. Kala means time, no? Long A, Kala. Kalyavana means he's a Yavana, came at the wrong time, at least when he met Krishna. That was the wrong time to be a Yavana. That was the wrong time to be opposed to God. Kalyavana. It's in Krishna book, Mathura Leela. So he's a Yavana means untouchable because he's not, doesn't observe any sanskaras of Vedic Dharma. So he's like, not, he's a contaminated entity. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. According to Vedic rites, those who are untouchable are not to be touched by the Kshatriya kings, not even for killing. You're so untouchable, I can't even touch you to kill you. Well, that's really untouchable. I would like to kill you, but I can't touch you. But my arrow can. It doesn't say arrow can't touch. Therefore, when the untouchable king sees the city of Mathura, Krishna did not think it wise to kill him directly with his own hand because now he's a son of a king, Vasudev, and he's a Kshatriya. So he doesn't want to break the rules of the Kshatriyas. No? So it's not that he's ran chicken, as they would say in America. You're a chicken, you ran away from the fight. I'd use that term. You're a coward, in other words. Coward. Krishna, he's Ranchor. Ranchor means he who flees from the battlefield. He runs away from the battlefield. We don't see him doing that in Kurukshetra. He didn't run anywhere. He ran on the battlefield with a wheel in his hand to attack Bhishma to defend Arjuna. But maybe in reference to this particular fight where a Yavana Kshatriya attacked his city and he should fight him and he ran away. It looks like that. So there's a temple in Gujarat, I believe, called Ranchorji. And it's a whole Krishna deity dedicated to Krishna's coward, so-called cowardly behavior, running away from the battle. So they worship Krishna for being a coward, and they worship Ram for being a hero. So Krishna may be a coward, but for us, we only know that he's Ajita. Ajit. He's unconquerable, and he's conquered our hearts, and that's all we care about. He may be a coward in your eyes, but he's victorious in our eyes. So we love him so much, we even worship his running from the battlefield as Ranchorji. So he ran away from Kalyavana. Because it's the Kshatriya law, it says a Kshatriya cannot even touch an untouchable Yavana, Kal Yavana, with his hand to kill him. So I can't touch him. He's attacking my Yadava. So I have to make a separate plan by my genius. So then, still the king had to be killed. Therefore, Krishna decided with his fine genius and discretion that Krishna should run from the battlefield. I guess it's about this Leela he became, Ranchorji. Huh? Oh, Jarasandh. Well, it's the same thing. Because they were attacking together. Jarasandh was attacking from the north, Kalyana was from the south. So he lit them out and they jumped off. And when they jumped off, somehow they ran into this guy. Because he was there. He was waiting on the backside. They didn't know about it. Said, who's this guy? Okay, let's go. And they just kept running. They attacked together. Two friendly demons. So Krishna went out the back door. And then and everybody else went out the back door because they went to sleep and they woke up in Dwarka. There's no Mathura. There's nobody there. It's a kingdom without people. Palaces without inhabitants. They took the palaces too. Jarasandha thought he was seeing things. He attacked the city with golden palaces and golden streets. When he finally got there, there was no city. There was no golden streets, no golden palaces. As Krishna removed it all at night. He went to sleep at night, woke up to battle, woke up to take over the city because the protectors ran away. And he said, wait a minute, where'd it go? Now you see it, now you don't. So that's what happened to Jarasandha because Krishna removed the entire city of Mathura. Krishna can't remove the golden palaces and golden streets of Mathura and transport them to an island in the ocean, Dwarka. He did it. Maybe P.C. Sarkar learned the art from Krishna. Because Krishna is the abode of all the arts. Kala Nidhi Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Kalavati Radha Ki Jai. So it's a very interesting class we have today, I must say. It's going in many unusual. It's like skiing on continuous slopes. Go down one slope and go down up another slope. Still, the king had to be killed. So Krishna, with his fine discretion, he decided he should flee from the battlefield so the untouchable king would chase him. He could then lead the king to the mountain where Muchukunda was lying asleep. Muchukunda received a benediction from Kartikeya, who is Skanda, the son of Shiva, and the commander-in-chief of the allied forces for the demigods. He got a benediction from Kartikeya to the effect that when he awoke from his sleep, whomever he might see would at once be burnt to ashes. Therefore, Krishna thought it wise to lead the untouchable king to the cave so the king's presence would awaken Muchukunda and he would at once be burnt to ashes. So there he lies. And may he rest in peace. So tomorrow we'll continue with the 13th quality of Krishna, which has some very beautiful verses for reference about Radharani.